I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Been talking a lot of football tonight, but we are on the cusp of the stretch run in the Major League Baseball season as well. October will be here before we know it, and we will be down the stretch in MLB. And joining me right now to talk a little baseball, he covers baseball for CBSSports.com. RJ Anderson joining me on CBS Sports Radio. RJ, it's great to have you on the show again, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. So as we head towards the back end of August here, September will be here soon enough. As we head down the home stretch, RJ, if you could put the contenders into tiers, how would you tier off these teams? How many teams would be in the upper echelon? And then what would it look like for you as we're sort of handicapping this thing down the stretch?
Yeah, so if we're talking about the American and National League, then I think you have to put the Dodgers in their own tier of the National League. You know, they're clearly the best team in the NL, and you can make a pretty good case that they're the best team in baseball. I mean, they're the only team with a run differential over 200. They're almost 50 runs better than everyone else in baseball. So I think that, you know, they've benefited from playing in the National League West, but they're just a very good team. So I feel comfortable putting them at the top. And then if we're going to, you know, the second tier, I think you have to have the Astros, Yankees, Twins, and perhaps even the Rays. And then, you know, the tier after that, I think you have Cleveland and some of those other teams, you know, Chicago, Washington, you know, I could probably throw in a couple of other teams, but I think for the most part, those are the teams we're talking about when we're talking about the best of the best.
It sounds like you think the American League is a lot more wide open than the National League right now. Would that be an accurate assessment?
Yeah, I think the Dodgers are just by far the best team in the National League, and I don't think you really see that in the American League because I think at minimum, you can make a compelling case that the Yankees and Astros are pretty evenly matched. So, you know, if you're just talking about is there a clear favorite in the National League, absolutely. In the American League, the same dynamic doesn't necessarily exist.
Among the – let's just take the Yankees and the Astros and put them separately here for now. Between those two teams, what's the biggest concern, do you think, for each of those two teams right now? Not so much for the rest of the regular season, but once October rolls around?
Yeah, so I think for the Yankees, you have to point to the rotation and obviously, you know, the health aspect as well. And then with Houston – you know, as long as Garrett Cole's healthy and as long as, you know, the rest of their horses are healthy, I don't really know that they have a huge, you know, issue you can point to. You know, maybe you talk about, you know, depth of their bullpen or what have you, but I think both teams are really good on paper, and I think that you would be wise to expect an ALCS matchup featuring those two teams.
Yeah, RJ Anderson, CBSSports.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. I'm in Houston, so I know the back end of that Astros bullpen has not been fun to follow over the last couple of weeks. Osuna and Presley just have not looked the same in June, July, and August as they did earlier in the season. Is the bullpen, though, maybe sometimes, as far as concerns go, and we saw this with the Astros in 2017, that's maybe a concern that you can overcome if you just have overall depth in the pitching staff because, you know, you're essentially emptying the chamber in the postseason. You're not playing by the normal rules, so to speak, in the postseason with respect to how and when you use pitchers.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, think about it this way. You know, once you get to the postseason, you shorten your rotation to four arms. And that means most likely that Aaron Sanchez would slide into the bullpen. And we know based on his numbers this season, historically, he's pretty good one time through the order. Well, come the postseason, you know, maybe he fills a Joe Kelly-like role. And we saw how successful Kelly was last season, you know, working for the Red Sox in a multiple-inning role. Maybe Sanchez does that in October for the Astros. And maybe that really changes the dynamic of that bullpen.
RJ Anderson joining me on CBS Sports Radio, covers baseball for CBSSports.com. It feels a little weird, no August 31st deadline. I know the July 31st deadline was always the real one, and guys had to go through waivers to get traded on August 31st. But does it feel a little bit different this year in terms of, well, you know, the teams, whatever they look like on August 1st, other than the call-ups from the minor leagues, this is what they're going to look like going into the postseason?
Yeah, it absolutely feels weird. You know, I think the real weirdness is still to come because I think you're going to see more and more veterans on expiring deals ship the waivers and just, you know, discarded in a way that we're not accustomed to seeing. Usually we see them traded for a player to be named later or a lower level minor leaguer or what have you. This year, I think you're going to see some guys who you wouldn't necessarily expect to just be given away, just kind of, given away, because that's the only route that these teams have. And if you're, say, the Texas Rangers, you have Logan Forsythe. Well, maybe you want to look at Nick Solak, one of your prospects. So maybe you just put Forsythe on waivers, and if a contender claims him, then, hey, good luck, Logan. You had a good year for us, but you deserve to be on someone's bench in October. And, unfortunately, that's going to lead to some, weird transactions, and you can question whether that's really what the spirit of the new rules were supposed to accomplish, but that's the reality of the situation.
Is Gerrit Cole going to get the – is he going to become the highest-paid pitcher in baseball this offseason?
He has a strong case for it, right? Unfortunately for him, the way the market has treated pitchers in recent years, you could make a case that, teams are a little gun-shy about signing these guys to super lucrative deals. So it's going to be interesting to watch his free agency play out. Obviously, it's a testament to his talent and his hard work that he's turned into the ace that everyone expected he could be, or expected he would become, I should say, when he was drafted number one out of UCLA. But yeah, I mean, for his sake, I hope he does, because he's had, back-to-back outstanding seasons, and the stuff is as good as anyone in baseball. So he deserves it, but we'll see if he actually happens.
I almost feel like, RJ, that if he doesn't, then nobody is. Like, I don't think there's a more I don't think there's a pitcher who checks more of the boxes to become that than Gerrit Cole when you take into account age, durability. I know he's out right now with this little hamstring tweak, but he's been incredibly durable as an Astros pitcher these last couple years. Stuff, crazy stuff. He's been through that Brent Strom Astros car wash now where everybody comes out on the other side like 25% better than they were when they went in. Like, if it's not Gerrit Cole, then I just have no idea who it's going to be ultimately.
Yeah, I agree with you. He checks all the boxes. He has the workhorse frame, and he has the big stuff and all that. So yeah, I don't really know. Unfortunately, this is even a topic for us. It speaks to some potentially corrosive issues with Major League Baseball and its compensation system, because this guy should be talking about, a huge deal. And instead, we might actually be talking about, will he be employed by the time camps open in February? So concerning times as far as the business of baseball is concerned.
RJ Anderson covers MLB for CBSSports.com joining me. All right, so of the four big awards, we'll say AL Cy Young, NL Cy Young, and then the MVP award in each league, which one is the easiest choice and which one is the most difficult choice?
Are you talking about for me or for the voters?
For you.
Well, for me, American League and MVP should go to Mike Trout, and there's really no further discussion on that matter, so far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. What about the most difficult?
The most difficult, I think that would probably be, I don't know, I guess you could say the Cy Young Awards, but I'll go with NL MVP just because I'm interested to see how people value Bellinger versus Yelich's season. And also, if by chance Ronald Acuna Jr. can record the fifth 40-40 season in league history, I would be interested to see how voters take that into account and whether they give him a boost for achieving such a rare feat.
Yeah, how about that deal with Acuna yesterday? That was weird, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate him getting benched and all that, but at the same time, I don't think it's a big deal, and I think that he'll be back in the lineup on Tuesday, and he'll be back to hitting home runs, stealing bases, and just generally being one of the best players in baseball.
Last one before I let you go, RJ. Aaron Boone talking about a mercy rule in Major League Baseball, of course, spawns all kinds of jokes about bringing Capri Suns to the ballpark and, T-ball and things like that, but does his tossing of that, he tosses that idea, does the idea have any sort of merit to you?
Honestly, I would be in favor of ties and mercy rules just because of where we are in terms of how teams design their pitching staff. And I think that if you're serious about trying to preserve pitchers' health, then it would make sense to institute ties and institute mercy rules where you're not having to threaten the integrity of the game by throwing so many position players out there, or, having to shuffle guys back and forth on and to AAA because, you have to make your pitching staff count and all that. So, yeah. I would be probably in favor of that. It just depends on what that looks like. And, I'd have to do some more research on what exactly the score differential would need to be and all that. But yeah, I mean, I think that's something that baseball should consider if we're serious about preserving pitchers and the integrity of the game.
I'm putting you on the spot, but what does your gut tell you about what a mercy rule that balances making sure the fans get their money's worth in terms of, that it's not, three innings and it's got to be something that's a little long. Like, what's your gut tell you as far as sort of balancing the need for that with the need to satisfy people who paid their hard-earned dollar to go to a game?
Maybe you say something like after seven innings, if the game is If the score is greater than 10 runs or something, the margin of score, I should say, is greater than 10 runs after seven innings, then maybe you can, you know, go ahead and call that a game or whatnot. But, yeah, you raise a fair point. You don't want to rip off paying customers, and it's something to take into consideration. But at the same time, you know, if I'm at a game and it's 17-1 and the backup catcher is throwing BP out there, I'm not sure that I'm necessarily getting my money's worth anyway.
Yeah, only if I can live wager on the at-bats, then I'd stay for the whole game. RJ Anderson covers MLB for CBSSports.com. RJ, really appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
All right, you got it. RJ Anderson joining me on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.